Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Ben Wetherill, if you didn't already know that. And I invite you to please stand as you are able, and we will open with the call to worship, which is hymn 367. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we start out with our hymn sing.
Yes.
I'm going to close that up for a moment. Do we have a starter?
Come on, Diana. Sing it up. What are we doing? Amazing Grace?
Yes.
First and last.
Okay, Amazing Grace is number?
Can we do all of them this day?
487.
487, thank you.
Let's do all of them this verses.
I think as often as I've been here, I've had it memorized, but it goes.
I'll find it.
So all four?
Yes, please.
All four.
Okay.
Thank you. in the garden, and I just a minute, I'll have the
page.
And what's the number?
She's just looking.
A minute, I'm looking it up. in the garden, no waters. H-I-J-K, in the garden, where are you?
I need.
Okay, I should remember this. 428.
428.
Okay.
428.
I've asked for it. I know the words. I just don't know the pages.
All three?
Yes.
All three, please.
Okay. And I was going to say, don't feel like you have to stand at this point. You can sit if you want to.
Thank you.
1-7.
1-7.
1-7.
From thou font. And do you want all three?
First and last.
First and last.
This is the beautiful garden of prayer?
No, come thou font.
Oh.
1-7.
I'm sorry, I'm just not hearing you. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. They're all good.
Yeah, I knew she liked it.
They're all wonderful. Oh, yes. So I have a few things on here. Sherry and Don, who are traveling. Tony and Janet, who are traveling.
Diana, who will start radiation therapy soon. Franklin Huntington. Prayers for Jenny, who's sick. And prayers for the hymn sing tonight. Is there anything you would like to add? Please.
I would like to add prayers for two of my friends who are also experiencing cancer.
Okay.
I have a dear friend who just got out of the hospital and is having a lot of trouble controlling her blood pressure. I just spent an hour with her and she's doing well, but we're all very concerned about her continuing health.
Okay. Rufus?
I'd like to pray for our children.
Thank you.
And our grandchildren. And the children and grandchildren, all who would like to be here worshiping today and can't. And I'd also like to pray for the older folks for whom it's harder to get here and wish them well.
Yes.
Now we've also prayed that Jenny gets well soon.
Yes.
She's not feeling. She should be better than her.
Okay.
Yeah. I think she'll be.
Bear with me.
Okay.
We all offer prayers for you.
Well, I know, it just hurts. I mean, I think he would want the people from here to take him before somebody else. I mean, it was his grandfather and father that helped build this church, you know. And he had a lot of love for this church. And I remember him cleaning, telling me he's cleaning them out. And it was so sad. He was so black when he got done. You know, so, you know, Naomi, I don't know if you've seen them.
I helped him. I helped
him.
At one
time. Yeah.
He was coming to this church when I was born and started coming to this church.
Yes. And he wanted to come so bad when it was painting time, but he knew he couldn't do it. He couldn't help. And it's like, honey, if you want to go, just your being there will mean a lot. But he didn't come. And I think he kind of regretted it. But when he did see it, he's like, this is so beautiful. And they did such a good job. And he even told Jeannie, and he kind of had tears in his eyes then, you know. So, but it's going to be a loss. And if anybody has any pictures of him, let me know. I don't have very many, like his picture. Yeah, so, okay, any questions, just ask me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes, please.
Just prayers for our neighbor, Wes. He's having heart problems. They just shipped him down to Portland to do an angiogram on him to see what's going on with his heart.
Okay. Anything else?
I'd add a prayer for our country. I think we're in a very challenging situation with a lot of divisiveness, and pray for peace and love.
Please.
Pray for the families of the recent school shootings.
I kind of in line with the last request. Anything else? All right. Let us pray. Oh, Father, you bless us and you give us life. You are our life. We ask that you would bless all of those who are sick and having difficulties, radiation therapy, cancer, blood pressure issues, heart problems, Lord. You made us. You can fix us. But it is your will as to what will happen and how it will happen. And we place that in your hands. We ask for healing, but we know that there may be other things that have to happen. We ask for your blessings on Diana and on all those who were friends of Franklin Huntington. Lord, I know that you have him in your hands. I don't worry about Franklin. You will bless him in this next life, and he will be rewarded for his faithfulness. We ask that you will bless all of those who are left behind, that you would hold them in your hands, that you would comfort them, and that you would give them peace, that they could get past the pain. We know that you will carry us through and that you are always with us. I didn't mention it, but we asked for prayers for Jenny. Help her to heal and to get back on her feet and to get better. Continue to watch over her and to help her. Father, our nation is in some difficult places right now. Only you know just how difficult. We ask for your prayer. We pray for a blessing on our children and on grandchildren, on those who are unable to get out and about because they've gotten past that point where they can do that. We ask for your blessings on those who are having difficulties in the current age, that you would give them peace and that you would keep them from doing things that they should not do. We pray especially for the families affected by the school shooting. We pray for the shooter himself. We ask that you would work in their lives. Give them peace. Help to bring them around to an understanding of something that's beyond understanding. We ask especially, Father, that you would bless our country, that you would help us to get past this difficult time, that you would show us a way through and give us hope. We ask this especially this week as we celebrate, or I shouldn't say celebrate, remember the actions of 9/11. We ask for your blessings on all those who were affected by that. Continue to watch over us, Lord, and continue to remind us that you are always with us, and you are always at work, and you are on your throne. We ask all of this in your most precious name, and we continue with the prayer that you gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen.
Amen. thank you. The scripture today is from Psalm number 119, verses 1 to 16. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Here ends the reading from Psalm number 119.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts bless you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. Earlier this summer, I had the opportunity to tell some of my story on stage as part of a storytelling session. Now this time, because I've done this quite a few times now, this time I was talking about navigation, exploring and finding your way in the world. Now nobody starts out wanting to get lost when they start navigating. You go out in the world wanting to experience it, and you're looking for something specific. And then maybe you wander off course. Tolkien liked to say that not all those who wander are lost. Yet even in the wandering, we seek a destination. And finding that destination requires some experience, good decisions, courage, and proper tools and guides. Now in my talk, I talked a little bit about my life. When I was 5, I decided to take a walk across Fort Bliss in El Paso, and you got to understand Fort Bliss is a fairly big base. At that time, it probably wasn't that far. I might have walked 2 miles if I was lucky, but I managed to make it to the PX, which is where I was going. I was looking for toys, thought I would find some there. The MPs caught me and handed me off to my parents. When I was 10, I went a bit further. I had talked my dad into letting me go to Pep Brothers and find myself a flag for my bicycle. I didn't tell my dad where I was going, just that I was going to Pep Brothers. Sometime in the middle of his sleep, because he was working midnights at the time, he figured out, wait a minute, that's like 5 miles away and it's on the other side of a highway. he caught up to me after I'd gotten my flag and was on most of the way home. I would go on from there to learn how to actually navigate. Those 2 times I did it purely through my own gifts. At West Point, they taught me how to land navigate, which is quite the experience because it takes you a couple of days to figure out how to read a map, how to find an azimuth, how to triangulate your position, right? And you've got this map that tells you how high everything is and the various levels, and discovered that that's harder than it looks. It is. A couple of years later, I went to jungle school in Panama, and I had to navigate across the jungle. Come to find out, the jungles are different than forests. It's a different experience. Harder to navigate because you can't see anything. You better have a pretty good compass reading. And we did manage to get lost. Found ourselves in a mangrove swamp. Didn't know we were in a mangrove swamp until we were right in there. Buddy in front of me had glowing patches on the back of his hat, right? Which is how we keep track of our buddies, right? And I'm watching my friend in front of me, and all of a sudden he disappeared. And I'm like, okay, this isn't good. And I kept going forward because I got to find him. And I stepped right off. And it was deeper than you could stand, and we were dog paddling in this swamp. And luckily for us, it was only about another 10, 20 yards to the other side of it. And we came out, found the roadway that we were looking for, and managed to get ourselves back to the gate. Years after that, I joined the Border Patrol, and that involved an awful lot of land navigation. And again, sometimes you couldn't see anything. I ended up in brush tunnels sometimes where I couldn't see the sky. And I might go for 2 hours down this brush tunnel, down the mountainside, and hope to heck I came out the other side and found a friend who could get me back to my truck and didn't find anything else I didn't want to find. I mean, obviously, I was looking for people who were coming across the country or coming across the boundary illegally, right? And then I am the chaplain for the Rangeley Fire and Rescue. And this last season during the winter, well, we had a rescue where we had to go out and try and find somebody who had crashed their snowmobile. And we initially started out going in the wrong direction. So even in this day and age, we have GPS, we have all the best tools that we can have. If I don't know exactly where they are in the first place, then trying to find them is going to be difficult because I'm starting from someplace I shouldn't. And in this case, we were starting from way out the other side of Aquasic, thought we were going north to Kennebago. Turned out what we really needed to go is east to, if you know where the garbage dump for Rangeley is, we needed to be north of that. And we eventually figured that out. The base group, we circled around and got back over next to the dump, and the other guys on their sleds raced across the sled trails and managed to find this person, and we got them out of there. So it's navigation has changed over the years. We still do azimuths, we still triangulate, but more often than not we're using GPS if we can. And you need to know how to navigate, whether or not you're going across the land or the sea or through life. You seek out the best tools available, but in the end, the most important tool you have is what's between your ears. Life experience, good decisions making, stout heart, a good map or a guide, are what make the difference between being lost and arriving at your destination. Now, all this is good, but navigating life requires slightly different tools, and the destination often is can be more critical. I say that knowing that, you know, when we're trying to save somebody's life, that's pretty critical, but still. Recently, I attended a chaplain's conference down in Pennsylvania. I go and get training to keep my capabilities up, right? And I heard a retired Secret Service special agent speak about leadership. His name is Kenneth Valentine. If you ever get a chance to look up a book by him, I highly recommend reading his book. Now, he used different references than I did in my talk, but it was very similar. He spoke of the three tenets of leadership: vision, discipline, and integrity. So, when you're navigating life, you need to have a vision. You need to have a destination, right? Like everything else, if you don't have that, you're going to get lost. God tells us, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all of your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the left or to the right. Turn your foot away from evil. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. You really do need to know where you're going. Probably the biggest reason I didn't graduate from West Point was I somewhere along the line forgot why I was there. I was supposed to be getting an education. I was supposed to be becoming an Army officer. And I got caught up in all the details. And I kind of veered off and my grades dropped and I got sent home. I've lost my vision. And you need to know where you're going. And you need to focus on that. And the question I would ask, is your gaze fixed on your destination, or are you getting caught up in the details? So his second point is truth. Integrity. So finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4:8. Are you able to discern truth from falsehoods? Do you know the path that you're following is the right path? Do you know that you are using the right tools? Are you using something that you cannot actually depend on? Do you know how to find true north or find an azimuth? Too often, people put their trust in things that are not trustworthy. That is especially true in the current age. We use Facebook. We use Google. We've heard a few things about Google recently, right? They're being sued. We've heard a few things about the government misusing all of that to try and convince people of things. There's nothing wrong with encouraging people to put stuff out, but when you don't tell people that's what you're doing, you know, how can we trust that? And that's one of those things in life that we need to do. We need to be able to trust what it is we're depending on to get us from point A to point B. And I would say, do you trust your own worth and your own capability? You matter. God created you. And he knows that your worth is beyond measure. Do you know that? The other is that fear and pride are enemies and constant companions. Are you taking pride in things that you probably shouldn't take pride in? And do you fear things that God would tell you you shouldn't? Well, that's part of being authentic and true and knowing what is trustworthy. The third tenet he gives us was discipline. And let me flip my page here. I will come back to it. Do you not know that in a race all of the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we seek an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Navigators and athletes have a plan. We have figured out how we're going to get from here to there. And we use discipline. We use processes. We use our plan to ensure that we get where we're going. If we don't continue to check our maps, we don't continue to check our navigation tools, it's very easy, especially at sea or in a jungle, to find yourself someplace you didn't want to be. This week is the anniversary of 9/11. And I would say that the reason more people were saved that day was because there were people who had a plan. And they had, with discipline, worked their plan over and over and over again. I would mention one particular individual. His name was Rick Riscorla. Rick had been an airborne paratrooper with the British. He ended up being a commissioned officer with the United States government in Vietnam, in the United States Army. And he would end up working for one of the major banks in the buildings. And he took it upon himself to ensure that they had a plan. Because he had seen, I think it was in 93 when the buildings were almost taken down, that we have a problem. And sooner or later somebody's going to figure it out and we need to be ready. And so he made the people of his office, of the office in the building where they were, he trained them. He made them go through drills over and over and over again. So on the day that it happened, they remembered what they had done. They remembered their discipline. They remembered the plan. And they did what he had taught them to do. Now, mind you, he was there present to make sure that happened. He ended up dying because he was not going to lose anyone. And he went back in to make sure that he had everyone. But he had a plan. As they say, preparation meets opportunity. And in this case, his preparation did meet that opportunity. Now, Kenneth Valentine, in his talk, spoke about consulting with his spiritual mentor, a man by the name of Joe Hamlet, who's got a doctorate in theology. And he asked Joe what he thought the three tenets of chaplaincy were, because Joe is a pastor and a chaplain. And Joe said, well, availability, trustworthiness, and consistency. And if you consider it, those line up with the three that Kenneth has. That being disciplined, having a vision, and integrity. And I thought about this as I meditated on this after his talk. I realized, I've heard this before. I know this concept. And then I remembered where I'd heard it. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. You see, Jesus defined leadership long before either Special Agent Valentine or myself. And he did it in a way that only our Lord and King can do. As our true and ultimate leader, Jesus declared in a conversation with his disciples, Thomas and Philip, this was the context of this statement, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. You see, where Jesus stands apart is that he isn't trying to lead you for someone else. He's not helping you to succeed in your life, although, you know, that's part of it. He would like you to be your best self. He is trying to lead you into a relationship with his Father, with himself. And he's trying to bring you home. Now, anyone can lead you across the street or help you find a career. But Jesus made you, and he wants you to become who you were created to be, and he wants you to live eternally with him. So are you seeking a vision for your life? Well, Jesus is the way, and he is always available. Are you seeking a trustworthy, authentic life? Are you looking for the right path, for the true path? Well, Jesus is the truth. He is the only one with all the answers, but more importantly, he's the only one that can be trusted even when we are not ready for those answers. Do you seek discipline and consistency in your life? Jesus is life. He is a sure foundation for your existence, and his is the only plan that you can actually depend on. He is the way, the truth, and the life. providing all the vision, integrity, and discipline that we need in this life and to navigate into the next one. So I will leave you with this prayer that I came across recently that was written by a Puritan, and I kind of had a start as we were singing My Country 'Tis of Thee and of the Pilgrims. Thou hast brought me to the valley of vision, where I live in the depths, but I see thee in the heights. Hemmed in by mountains of sin, I behold thy glory. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is a rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. Lord, in the daytime, stars can be seen from the deepest wells, and the deeper the wells, the brighter thy stars shine. Let me find thy light in my darkness, thy life in my death, thy joy in my sorrow, thy grace in my sin, thy riches in my poverty, and thy glory in my valley. Amen. Our closing hymn is 219, He Leadeth Me. Want to do the other two?
Why not?
Yeah, let's finish.
No. First three.
So third and fourth, please.
Or I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur or repine. Content whatever lot I see.
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
And also with you.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I'm going to leave that for her in case she needs it.